Alrighty, good morning, everybody, and welcome to this Friday edition of the Gareth Cliff Show live on the Real Network, live on YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. Because, you know, you have to explain to people every time.
Yeah, some people get them in strange places.
There are some people who've just, hello, Ben, sorry. Yeah. There's some people who've just woken up to this now. They've only just, oh, you mean I can go on the internet? I got a call from someone yesterday, and she said to me, oh, I've got a friend, and she grew up in this family, blah, 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 and she's lovely. She's got a great voice, and she wants to be in radio. And I was like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to help you. Like, you're living in 1997.
Yeah.
You know, when I got into radio, it was 1997, and I was like, this is terrific, but that was 1997.
1997.
It's not like that anymore. Anyway, before I get all the comments from the usual people in the comments section, no, I didn't dress up this morning because I'm going to find prostitutes after the show. No, I didn't dress up like this because I'm going for a job interview. And no, I didn't dress up like this because I can't dress smartly the rest of the time. It's that I've got that Women's Day breakfast thing that I told you about at the beginning of the week, where I said I was going to upset those people and I changed my mind.
So Women's Day breakfast.
I'm making a speech. I wrote a speech. I haven't done this for a while. So normally I just wing it.
Wow, this is a treat to start the show.
I know, isn't it great? So I'm doing it. Yeah, right. For the women in the workplace.
Is that it? I mean, I wish James had told me. I would have, like, I also would have
You would have dressed up
suits.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, well. I would have. You know, what are you going
to
do?
I mean, I wouldn't have got to the women's breakfast with you, but I would have dressed
no,
up.
No, but I mean, you could have sat in the back and watched.
Yeah.
It claps. Could be quite fun.
I could have laughed at the right times.
I woke up this morning almost too late. Like, by a ball head did I make it in this morning. And then I got here and saw I'd still beaten you, which made me feel good.
Yeah, I wasn't going to make breakfast, and I did make breakfast, and then it was that precarious, you got 10 minutes to get here, but look, here we are.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you have to elaborate on this women's thing. Give us a sneak peek on the speech.
All right, so I'm basically talking about how things have changed in the world, how the current zeitgeist, the check your clock moment, check your watch moment is now. 2025 is going to be the watershed for the next decade of how humans behave, because we've had this 10 to maybe even more, maybe 15 years of kind of trying this way of doing things, and it hasn't really delivered the goods.
Terribly.
Right. And people all over the world are changing, and they're changing in lockstep with a pendulum swing, which happens in human society from time to time. I'm going to talk about
how they are going to hate this.
I know they are. They're going to hate it. But it's about how history is inevitable.
Yeah.
And history will, unless you pay attention to it, you study it, you know what's going on, everything seems to be terrifying and surprising to you. You cannot pattern seek. You're not a pattern seeking mammal, and therefore you're bound to be upset by everything that occurs around you because it seems random and by chance. And it's, you know, Virgo didn't line up with fucking Mercury this month or whatever. That's obviously not a way that we can carry on working.
Jeez, now I do want to go to this event.
And the thing about feelings and facts, and, you know, there's quite a lot in there that they're going to disagree with.
So which brazen woman had the confidence to book you to speak?
I can't even tell you. I mean, I can look up the email, but it's apparently quite a big deal. There are like 100 people there, and they're all really important and kind of all have big, high level jobs and
okay, smart I think people then.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what the composition of the audience may be. I might be surprised. Maybe they agree with me wholeheartedly.
Yeah, well,
maybe they're the kind of people who have been able to already smell the change in the tea leaves.
Well, Gareth, I've always said you make a lot of sense.
Smell the wind. Smell the change in the wind.
I mean, I've always thought you make a lot of sense. That's why I'm here listening to the show.
Cheers.
This morning.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks, Ben. All right. So if Ben dressed up, we would he have worn a cap? He's wearing
guys,
a cap.
Guys, sorry, I'm back to caps. It's just that, see, I'm back to that weird look again. Yeah. I need to shave it back down.
Have you been for the checkups and everything? They're happy?
End of August, I go for the PRP.
Okay.
So they inject
platinum, plasma-rich, yeah.
Yeah, it's, I realized this week on our show, the sports show, that I have a horrible side profile. The discoloring between the regrowth area in the hair is not great. So
it's sort of a bit pink, and then the rest is normal skin color.
It's not a good look. So what I need to do is I need to shave it very fine again.
Uh-huh.
But this is my journey, guys.
Meanwhile, have you meanwhile been looking at potential hairstyles for when it's at full tilt? So really, I mean, what are we going to go for? What's like the most ambitious?
I think I'm going to go for like project. I'm going to go for like 90s handsome gent first. Okay. So like it's quite long all over, you know, and there's like a bit of a wave to it. And then from there, I'm going to go more aggressive with some shaves on the side, keeping long on top.
Okay.
I think there's always going to be a bit of flop to my hair going forward, you know.
No, that's good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it's going to be a while,
quite
guys.
Exciting.
I mean, I think 2026 is the year that I start really styling and doing things.
Fantastic.
To this point, I'm just, you know, white knuckling it.
Very good. If Ben dressed up, okay, then that's that dealt with. Ben, show us your cup, says Mo Rabbit. You people are sick, you know, you're all twisted. Gavin says, gee, seeing that you're leaving us to our own devices soon, can you suggest some other decent podcasts? I'm not stopping the show. All I'm going to do is move the show to once a week. I'm very excited about this, by the way. It's going to be a really cool change to things. It became a little bit predictable, same people on the same days. It became, you know, James sort of scrambling to get us guests at the last minute because people canceled and they're so unreliable.
Also because he forgot.
You think he forgot? You think that's why? James, because you forgot? Okay. All right. Anyway, however that happened, I'm very excited about it. It means 3-hour live shows. It'll be like a morning show. And by the way, talking about that, I saw something that really is, if anything is the nail in the coffin of broadcast and traditional media, it's this. It's a big story that broke this week from The Sun in the UK. I don't know how they got the story before anyone else. But Howard Stern, who is easily the king of all radio, that's what he calls himself. This guy dominated radio in America, syndicated to, it was like over 100 channels in the mid to late 90s, and then went on to Sirius XM, Sirius being a satellite radio station, because they weren't sure the internet could do this at that point. People didn't have receivers in their car for the internet, so the internet was kind of down the road for them. Instead, they went to the trouble of launching a whole bunch of satellites and actually installing separate satellite receivers in everyone's cars. I mean, it's just unbelievable what they managed to do. And they made money. Advertisers flocked there. Stern was able to command enormous audiences. He was being paid. I think the original contract was something like $600 or $700 million in the beginning. It was probably the most valuable entertainment contract in the world, let alone radio contract in the world. And he was probably America's number one property for a short while after that. He's made an absolute fortune in his career. He's been unbelievably innovative, completely unpredictable. He's had a team of tremendous people around him. I was on their show in, 97, 98, somewhere around there. And I remember it was just the most incredible thing because I thought, here I am doing radio, which I had been doing in South Africa for a while. No, it was 2004 maybe. Couldn't have been 97. 2004. And I thought, no one is going to know who the hell I am on American radio, but it'll be the biggest audience I'll ever have. And you have to have heard Howard Stern for a while to realize how brilliant he was at that time.
Oh, completely.
But now, and I'm afraid what's happened, and I used to listen to him. People would send me files from overseas or tapes or whatever, and I used to love it. But somewhere about 12 years ago, maybe a little bit more, he just started doing celebrity interviews. All his friends became A-listers. He and Jimmy Kimmel had some kind of a bromance. He got very married and very settled down, but he was old already by then. So he was also this weird old man in his kind of late 60s and trying to be cool and trying to, you know, making jokes about kind of vaginal queefing and things. And while that might be funny when you're 20, 30, even maybe 40 if you're pushing it.
You still pop vaginal queefing.
Well, queef is a funny thing. I mean, I've got to admit.
Time and place.
But you're really pushing it by the time you get to your 50s and 60s. Yeah. And I also think when you have, you know, so much changing around you, you don't change with it, which is the topic of my conversation with this breakfast.
With these women.
This breakfast of women this morning. Then you just seem out of step. And you seem like you're not paying attention. You're not reading the tea leaves was the early metaphor.
It's like watching Happy Gilmore 2. It's like you've got to get over those jokes at some stage.
Yeah. It does. It feels like it's just outdated and lame. But everyone's
got a lifespan.
So they've killed the show, Stern's show, which is a very big deal. Really, there's the story now of SiriusXM to cancel Howard Stern after 20 years on the radio. So by that, they mean satellite radio. Before that, he had another 20 to 25 years on terrestrial radio. And I've read his books, and he really is just an inspiration to me in so many ways because he was absolutely ahead of his time almost all the way through until maybe a decade ago. $100 million a year salary. It's no longer worth the investment, is what they said. All right, so SiriusXM, it may not be that Howard Stern is no longer the best at what he does. He may still have a huge audience. I imagine there's a huge amount of nostalgia that follows him.
Sure.
You know, there are artists from the 80s who can fill a stadium every time they go anywhere. But Howard Stern may not be the only one to blame here. SiriusXM may actually also have just been out of step with what's going on in the world. They've become very woke. They've got a couple of very bad podcasts that they produce. But I think the format's changed. So first of all, to anyone who said that what we were doing 14 years ago or somewhere around there and where I started to see that radio was going to die, like, hello, what more do you need in terms of proof? This is the end of radio. Radio is now virtually a nothing. It's now complete graveyard. If anyone is watching us, listening to us this morning and thinks that there's still a job because you have a good voice or whatever, find yourself a space in reality and stop being a fantasist. It's over.
Put your good voice into a job because your good voice will be used everywhere. Now, people think, oh, I've got a good voice, I have to be in broadcasting. No, it just means you probably communicate better to a sales team. You can present better in a marketing meeting.
I have something to say, for starters. That was always a rule in radio, too, is it's all good and well to have a voice, if you whatever that is, like a deep radio voice. Hi, everybody.
No one's an announcer anymore.
There are people like that. I mean, I was in a lift the other day, and someone went, could you press number 13, please? And I thought, fucking hell, that's amazing. So you still meet people like that. But there are no jobs for you because of your voice. I mean, if you think you could be a voiceover artist.
AI is pissing on that quite quickly.
Get over it. I mean, AI has been pissing on it. But there was one guy in America who did like all the movie trailers for 30 years.
And that style then died because it was him.
Right.
Use the good voice to like pick up chicks or like amuse children.
More importantly, say something worth saying in a good voice.
That too.
You know, most people just talk bullshit. And I know small talk is something that you have to indulge in, but I'll try my best not to do that. Not on this show and not in the corridors of where you find me. All right, let's see. The only thing I enjoy about the Howard Stern show is Beetlejuice. Well, he kind of made Beetlejuice famous. Beetlejuice is that very strange-looking small black man who's very aggressive and always drunk.
Oh, wow.
He's like, there must have been fetal alcohol syndrome or something going on there. How can you be sure that all of the attendees are women? Are you going to assume their genders or will there be tests? Well, I have a joke about that in the beginning, so we'll see. Ben, some advice if I may, says Veronica. Massage rosemary oil onto your scalp to promote blood flow. I wouldn't take Veronica's advice. She sounds like a witch.
Yeah, Veronica.
She's a witch. Just ignore her.
You're probably right. I've been a bit slack on the vitamin E of late as well.
Sharon says Howard Stern became woke. Yeah, he did. I mean, he openly endorsed Kamala Harris and gave her the softest interview in the universe last year. Didn't help at all. With his millions of people listening, he couldn't persuade anyone to vote for her.
I also think when people become so rich and celebrity entwined, they go like that because they don't actually have real problems. That's why they seek all this bullshit.
And those people become your social equals. And they become your friends, and they become the people who you moan about being famous with. And then you lose touch with the – and I mean, what made Stern amazing was he would talk about how he had to deal with bullshit and stupid people and he had homeless people on the show all the time, and he'd laugh about himself, and he was self-deprecating. And sure, he was crude a lot of the time, but I feel like, you know – whatever he was and however he's changed, that train ride has come to an end now.
But celebrity's actually not entertaining when you really break it down because people have the same kind of problem with Joe Rogan right now, and that all his friends became celebrities and he became so rich. And then his conversations also kind of felt out of touch like that. Like he tries to get back to these things, but it's like it's gone now. He's lost that sort of edge.
I don't know if you've heard any of Bill Burr's latest stuff, but it's terrible. The guy's also just fallen off the edge. It happens. Can I just say that it is a very good idea for people to realize they've peaked and for them to move on. And part of that is that we constantly change things here. I'm always trying to adapt to novelty. I used to do interviews all the time, right? I think those shows are tired. I think everyone sitting around a table doing interview shows for podcasts, there's so much of it and it's enough already. Like there are only so many interesting people in the world and all the podcasters have had them on at least once.
Yeah, exactly.
Including me. And I'm like, so what are we going to do next? Because I get bored long before the audience gets bored. I think it's a good survival tactic. I'm very pleased for it. I wouldn't call it a superpower, but it certainly helps.
Yeah, but you got to be honest with those things because if you're bored, you have to be the first one to signal that.
Damn right. And I'm not. You have to lead. I'm not bored, and I'm certainly not doing this for any reason other than I enjoy it and it adds value to my life.
Yeah.
And then hopefully to whoever's listening. Afrikaans radio won't die soon. They're still far behind, says Nico. Well, you know, they're going to be places for radio in this country. I don't think it's going to die out completely. I think storytelling is always going to be a powerful thing, no matter what format it's in. And if there are really talented people in radio, they will find a way to make the medium exciting.
Yeah, but guys, I mean, we've got to look at it on a broader feel. Radio will be radio because some people still like having their fucking names on songs, shout-outs. They still like playing the stupid fucking competitions. Yeah. And it's just easy for some people. And some people only want that. It's like you can't put foie gras down the throat of someone who only likes hot dogs.
Yeah.
It's also that.
That's exactly right. Tabo says, DJ Fresh and Unati started a radio show last month. Do you think it'll work? I mean, people have been dying to hear Fresh again on the radio. You know, that's also nostalgia. And Fresh and I talked about this a long time ago, too. And he is a friend of mine, and he won't mind me saying this. But I just don't think that the format... I mean, sure, there are radio stations. You know, I mean, the one that Darren was working on...
Well, I think Fresh is on... Before he was died. It 93.8?
Sure, there are lots. There are lots of these stations. I don't know what they all... They do radio the way radio used to be. You know, it feels like a time warp. And I'm not going to criticize it. I just don't listen to it. So I don't know what's going on there more than on the odd occasion where I have been driving somewhere and I knew I had an interview on that station or whatever, and I'd listen to them. And they play songs, and they do things like, well, it's 6:22, and here's the that good old favorite of yours, Justin Bieber with...
Did he touch me?
Whatever. Yeah. Did he interfered with me when I was small, or whatever the song is. And then they start the song and they stop talking just before the lyrics kick in, you know, and then they play a jingle. This is Hard Radio 9599 or whatever the fuck it is. It's just, it's lame. And I say that having done it for years. I loved it while I did it. It's awesome. But I don't think it's a thing anymore. And if anyone can pull it off, it will be Fresh. I love Unati too. She's also a proper friend of mine. We get on like a house on fire. So if there are any two people who I wish luck to in that world, it would be them. They might not need it. Who knows? Maybe they kick ass and fucking take numbers. But I don't know. The format just, it feels out of step.
For as long as we will be a car nation with bad public transport, radio will exist. Because easy people get into a car.
Yeah, but then... But then do something people only need for that trip in or out to and from work, because the rest of it is expensive and stupid, and you don't need to be playing people music. They can, I have the best playlist. I put this together with a friend of mine. We've kind of both got access to add songs. And fuck, have we been adding some absolute killer stuff. And I don't need some DJ telling me what it's. I can see it on the screen. I don't need traffic because I got Waze. I don't need... news, because I've got X. So what are you doing with radio? It's not 1992.
Seven.
Whatever. P4 in Cape Town is still a huge station. Listeners got together last week and some soccer kids getting them back home. Oh, I heard about that. There were some soccer kids who some promoter fucked over and they were stuck, and then some people in Cape Town got them back. And you probably don't know. Probably don't care. Stupid kids, why were they in Portugal in the first place? Afrikaans Radio and Heyskenoot will survive the apocalypse. Not true. I mean, Heyskenoot's sales figures are right down for the first time in history. I heard from my mother the other day that my great-grandfather he was one of the people who started Heyskenoot back in the day.
Wow.
He started two newspapers and Heyskenoot, which was like a for the women's.
But what kind of, because I mean, Afrikaans people are very conservative. What kind of scandal would they put in the early issues?
This is 1920s and 30s. So I think I don't think there was scandal.
It was all just like recipes and doilies and shit.
Recipes and home tips. You know, the kind of videos that I watch now on
sermons and shit.
Yeah. It's like, this will help you to cut onions without bursting into tears. Yeah. That kind of shit.
Say no to leg warmers.
Yeah. Gareth, did you see the WNBA drama taking place over the betting markets? No, I didn't. Do you know?
I don't know. All I know is there's just green dildos getting thrown at them.
Yeah, well, it's because they wore those shirts that said pay us what you owe us.
Yeah.
Which is like such a cheek because the WNBA doesn't make money.
Poor copywriting. But yeah, I just have been seeing the dildos. I don't know what the betting scandal
is. What's the green dildos all about?
Well, people just believe that maybe that's what they're worth. It's a bit mean. I mean, I wouldn't go to a game with a dildo and throw it in the court. But this is how people feel, you know?
Okay, Grant D'Souza suggesting something interesting. We should do a show with all your super fans. It would be a gas. First of all, I don't know if I want all those lunatics in one room. I think it would be very dangerous. But yeah, it could also be huge fun.
We should just do an event with them.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And then record shit there.
Yeah, do an event with them and just record shit, and then James can bring his girlfriend.
A braai would be a good idea, right? We can do a braai. And James, you can also bring your dog.
James has a girlfriend and a dog. I mean, he's basically the most rounded person.
The girlfriend kind of slipped in there when he said, I said to him, who? Because he's like, my dog's just arrived. And I was like, what, did you just leave it in the driveway? And he's like, no, my girlfriend brought it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, I wasn't going to make a big deal out of it because...
Me either. I mean, why would it be weird that James has a girlfriend? I think it's completely normal.
But it's also
normal.
None of our fucking business.
I know. That's really. Why I want to. That's why you want to get
know,
into
that's
it.
Why you want to pry. there was something about. Oh yes, James is going to start an Instagram page for his dog. It's going to be called what? Winstagram.
Winstagram, and it's going to promote the links to all the podcasts on the Real Network.
Winstagram. Yeah, it's just going to basically be a promotion dog.
Exactly.
That's what it is. All right. I haven't listened to live radio since the start of COVID, says Chantel. Yeah, a lot of people changed a lot after COVID, and some people didn't and thought it would be the same. And those are the people that you don't... I saw a dude with a mask on yesterday in his car.
Huh?
You
see the Pirates announced a sponsorship with Amstel, and Urban Khoza, he had the mask on outside.
Well, a lot of people might want to kill him, so but perhaps he knows something we don't.
It was outside. He gave the whole spiel with this fucking mask on. It was so cringe.
That's weird. I mean, you'd think he's a smart guy. He's made a ton of money. He kind of owns the criminal underworld, if not just Orlando Pirates. That's good enough.
Seeing that reminded me of
why would he wear a mask?
Again.
It's so dumb, right? It's
outside.
To me, it is an outside sign of stupidity. I mean, if you're still wearing a mask now, I've got to ask, what happened? Did you get hit on the head really hard?
Maybe he cut himself shaving. Maybe I'm being a bit hasty here.
Maybe. All right, so a couple of things we need to get to this morning. Beyonce versus Sydney Sweeney, who wore it better? This is your thing you want to settle.
Oh, Gareth, I have no talking points. Now I'm just here to shoot the shit.
Cool, but I do want to get into
this. Isn't like fucking show and tell. Right, Ben, let's talk about your points today.
No, but I like the topic. I mean, who doesn't want to talk about Sydney Sweeney at the moment? She's terrific.
She's hot.
And, you know, the people who are upset with her, this is a very straightforward thing. People who are upset with her are just mostly ugly people.
Yeah.
There may be one or two of them.
And there's lots of those, yeah.
You've had to dig. Yeah, there are. It's disappointing, you know. Like, you just can't take pleasure in other people being pretty and hot.
But, I mean, generally leftists hate anything that's beautiful, successful, or at all makes them look like shit, which isn't hard. So they hate a lot.
Yeah, so they hate beautiful buildings. They hate beautiful artwork. That's why they're always throwing soup and spray painting with their climate change bullshit. They hate everything that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. because they hate themselves. That's the truth.
Of course.
But obvious. It's interesting, like, there are a couple of people who are complaining about how Sydney Sweeney is a terrible ambassador for beauty because they don't feel included. But then you take Beyonce, and I think this is a fascinating subject, because Beyonce came up in conversation with a couple of people I was with the other day, and people were saying, well, why is Beyonce, you know, lightening her skin, wearing a blonde wig, going for the cowboy look? She famously wore all jeans for the launch of her country album recently. It's not as if Beyonce is appearing as authentic as possible. She's also vamped up her image to the nth degree. I don't know. She's a beautiful woman, so I don't know if she needed plastic surgery or anything. But certainly a lot of women have that. So either you're all for authenticity and you want people to be as real as possible, or you don't mind the fake and you can still assume that there's beauty involved. I don't know which is, to me, a problem. Something says to me neither of those is a problem. If you are beautiful, be celebrated. And if you can make yourself more beautiful from not being beautiful, and you think it's better and it gives you confidence, awesome too.
Yeah, I just think people should be honest and just basically say, I dislike white women. That's what they need to say.
Is that what you think it is?
Because that's what it comes down to, right? And it's just
a lot of white women complaining about Sydney Sweeney.
Because they're trying to condition themselves to be, oh, white women aren't pretty. It's been like.
But why would you do that if you're a white woman?
Because they hate themselves.
That's so counterproductive.
Look, it's hard for us to have this conversation because we're two white guys in the set right now. But it's.
We're the perfect people to have this conversation, if you ask me.
But I think online, people just need to be honest. Like, you know, I think white women become soft targets for this kind of stuff. Sydney Sweeney is the most, like, harmless, like, naturally attractive blonde girl who just happens to have amazing boobs.
Although I did see
that should not be held against her.
No, they should be held against me.
Yeah.
I did see a great video the other day.
I set you up for that one.
Thanks. I did see a great video the other day of her shooting a gun. She went to some shooting range and she went up like 10 sexy points. And the funny thing is, I think my algorithm is rewarding me finally after years of putting in hard yards with boring chemistry videos and shit, because I got a video of my Norwegian pole vaulter.
She illegal edge it.
She's legal now, Ben. She's grown up, all right? She was shooting a gun at a shooting range, and I thought, how marvelous. This is just exactly what the world is changing for the better.
And you know what? It's a normal thing to want to do, but then it becomes alt-right if you shoot guns and you
have blonde hair. No. I don't believe any of that.
I mean, obviously we don't, but I mean, this is what people get. But if you look at the pictures of Beyonce and Sydney Sweeney in these campaigns, it's basically the same thing, right?
Sure. I mean,
Beyonce looks great.
She does look fucking great. Look at her. Talk about, good buddy. I mean, Beyonce looks spectacular there.
I mean, she's had, obviously, everyone has work done, right?
But I got to tell you at the same time, sure, work done, but to me, the skin tone is exactly the same on both of them. In fact, you could say they've maybe bronzed up Sydney Sweeney's cleavage a little more, but they both...
They would need to, yeah.
I don't really think there's a whole lot of difference, except we know that Beyonce is quite a bit older, which is to her credit to
she's
look
great,
that good.
And the Levi ads, and she strips down to basically she takes off the denim. She puts in the washing machine. She's in good nick. Like, she's a beautiful woman.
Damn right.
So if people want to talk about this whole, that's not beauty, I'm sorry, but that is. And why do you think
they've got more in common in those two pictures than they have that makes them different?
Completely. But why do you think people are liking these ads? Because they actually want to see hot chicks.
Also, you know,
we're so tired of these hobgoblins who've just been, everyone's beautiful. They're fucking not. Don't try if I can foist this on us.
I still send them to you on Instagram.
And I hate you for it. It upsets me so much.
I sent Ben the ugliest people with doing the most horrible things that I can find. And I get no reply. And I know it's hit home. It's just so great.
There I am with my head in my hands, crying.
Like, I know.
No one to see that.
Terrific.
And this, like, beauty standards and all this kind of stuff. And they say, well, beauty shouldn't be exclusive. Yes, it should be. And we should celebrate people who are beautiful.
By the way, I could talk about this all day. It's one of my favorite subjects. It came up last weekend too. There is something so great about someone who's just naturally goddamned attractive, just strutting their stuff.
Yeah.
I'm not necessarily watching from somewhere going, you know, that's revolting. I just have an appreciation for beautiful shit. I really do.
As we all actually do. But we need to be honest about this.
If you're a good, I think you think you have to, in some way, in some way, you have to associate beauty with divinity. It's a moral good, right? Because when things are beautiful, they're ordered, they are symmetrical, they are proportional. It all makes sense. The ancient Greeks had worked out the golden rectangle. There are elements of proportion that come into all of that. And I think good equals beauty.
Yeah.
If you're disordered and you're chaotic and everything in your life is bizarre and random and you can't make head or tail of it and you're constantly surprised by everything, like our president, then I don't think you have an eye for beauty. There are some people who the paintings in there. That's so great, Sloth Fratelli. All right, sorry, for those people who are listening rather than watching, because we still have some of those, there's an American Eagle, Sloth Fratelli has extra jeans ad with him in a Superman shirt.
I just like, you know what, well done, American Eagle.
That's so great.
Like, they've got such a great campaign, and I would go buy their jeans if I saw them in a store opposed to others, because they've done something good. They've gone back to what people like. We want to see hot chicks. We want to see beauty. We want to see things that are
speaking
better.
Speaking of beautiful, have you got that woman who's shouting at the camera? Yeah, show Ben this. She's gorgeous. And I mean, I agree with everything she says, by the way. Everything this woman is about to say, I think, is spot on. It's just unfortunate where it comes from. But here we are.
Fucking government. The English don't protest about England here. The Asians don't protest about China or Japan here. Do they? But the Palestinians, they come here, they're bringing their shit here, and they're protesting about their fucking country. Here, we got our own problems. Fucking idiots.
And I back her all the way.
I back her all the way, you see?
I back her enthusiasm, her passion, her subject matter.
Sure, absolutely. Someone put a clip together. I'm just going over some content that I was most impressed with this week. And this is the greatest video. It's from Diary of a Wimpy Kid or something, where there's an audition for a musical at the school. All the kids are shit singers, and then he's the great singer. And someone has gone and taken this video, which is apparently like a meme that's gone all over the internet, and they've put in the Springboks and the Braai Army, South African rugby supporters. And just as we lead into sport, I thought this would be a good and a tremendously clever way of explaining to anyone who's never been to South Africa or knows nothing about the country, this is what South Africa is in a nutshell. All of our parastatals are an absolute shit show. And our government is a shit show. And that doesn't mean the country is or the people are. And there are still bright lights and there are pockets of excellence that we will find in South Africa that will save us. And this illustrates it better than I could in words.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit nervous that the best of all the years have gone by.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit terrified and then I see the look in your eyes.
Turn around. Bye, thighs. Every now and then I fall apart.
That is
spot
amazing.
On, right?
That's our life, guys.
That's it. All right, so let's get into some sport with Ben Karpinski.
Well, guys, football's back.
Mm-hmm.
It was back.
You did a big launch show this week on the bounce.
On the bounce. So if you're actually looking for podcast midweek, because you're not getting midweek, on the bounce show, we had a really great football guest, Sipong Malwani. He's from Sokola Duma. So we had our first journalist, and this is a guy who goes to all the events. He interviews the people. He has to physically write the stuff. So great knowledge base.
Sure.
And we went through all the leagues because the MTN 8 started last weekend. Straight away, we're into the cut and thrust of that because Sundowns are now playing Pirates in the semis. That'll be next weekend. Mm-hmm. But this weekend, the PSL starts. Next weekend, the English Premier League starts. So all the leagues are now going to be really kicking off. So for people who really love football, there was no off-season because there was the FIFA Club World Cup. And then with all the transfer talk and who's buying what and who, it doesn't really turn off, but now it very much turns on. So obviously with the PSL, I don't want to give away what we did in our show, but you know, it's always back to like, can the PSL be competitive again? Sundowns just get stronger and stronger and stronger. And unfortunately, after being in the Club World Cup, their players are only going to be better. They've got extra money because they've got get a little bit of money.
So you think they're accelerating so fast ahead of the others that the others can't catch up?
It's so near impossible for the others. Like the others can't put a foot wrong in anything that they might be able to do. Whereas Sundowns just have gears and levers and layers. It's really great. Like it's great to know that we can produce a team like Sundowns, but who can keep pace with them? And every season it's like, well, what could be the answer to that? And the actual pessimistic view is like nobody could ever catch them. They're going to be endeavored to be great forever. But that's a really cool incentive for other teams to now rise to the top with that. So this weekend, PSL will start. We've got Chipper versus Sundowns. So that'll be the first match on Saturday. And then we've got the new teams that are coming up. So Orbit College FC.
Who the fuck are they?
Exactly. Well, I think they'll only be around for one season. That'll be also 3 o'clock.
Isn't that Flex's favorite team?
I think that's Flex's
favorite. I heard that's who he supports.
That's
who
his favorite chewing gum.
Orbit what?
Orbit College FC.
There we go. Is that your team, Flex?
Flex actually physically went there. So he can go and play there sometime in the season. They might need him.
He could even be their striker by the end of the year.
They might need him in a few weeks, yeah.
That's good. Okay, well, there we go.
So Orbit College FC in Amazulu, that'll be at 3. Pirates take on Sekakuni.
What time you finish here in the afternoons, Flex? Like 2? 3? Then you could probably make it to practice.
You get more. You might get some more merch as well, Flex.
And I reckon you could... You could seriously add some fucking power to their lineup.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's promote actively. Start the hashtag Flex4College.
Orbit College FC.
Just make it Flex College. That's too complicated otherwise.
Yeah, actually, go for renaming. Because renaming is very fashionable in the PSL because you have teams who buy other teams' rights.
That's right.
And then they come in.
At one stage, we had the Imalahleni Warriors of Coal or something, didn't we? I think we did.
I don't know.
We did. We had that. I remember.
So Siwalela FC is a team that bought SuperSport United.
What's Dimela?
Siwalela FC. Oh, okay. So this is Gate McKenzie's son. This is the Free State team. Okay.
Okay.
So they bought SuperSport United last year. They were going to become Bloom Celtic. The guy who owns the rights to Bloom Celtic said, I want, like, I don't know, 15 million rand for the name. And they were like, well, we're going to kind of just create our own name.
But aren't Ivan Koza, Kaiser Motaung, Natasha Chiklis, aren't they all still in charge of fucking soccer? I think they are deep down inside.
Of course they are.
Right?
Yeah. But that's their teams. They've got their own things. Siwalela FC is now going to be the heart of Bloemfontein because Bloem Celtic, they sold their license a while ago and then they disappeared and there was no football in Bloem, which, you know, it's the worst run province in the country. Yes. At least give these people football.
Eastern Cape is. We'll address that in the last hour.
Actually, the Free State.
You think the Free State's worse?
No, there's been articles around that.
Okay.
They are the worst.
Take your word for it.
So, Siwalela FC are going to now play, and looks like they'll hold on to Siwalela FC. They're not going to bother getting the Bloem Celtic name. It might come back at some stage, but they're good with this. They're taking on Golden Arrows at 8. And then the game of Saturday is Pirates versus Sekakune. And then Sunday, TX Galaxy, who I'm pretty sure will have a derby with Orbit College FC, just on names. TS Galaxy are taking on Durban City. Durban City have now come up from the first division. So Gavin Hunt's involved there. They're looking to stay with some pretty decent names there. And then Stellenbosch against Chiefs on Sunday, also big, big game. But then on the English front, the FA Community Shield is the game before the actual EPL starts.
Yeah.
So the league winners, Liverpool, take on the FA Cup winners, Crystal Palace. It's a big day at Wembley. It's a lovely last day in the sun because, as you know, summer basically ends.
Summer died last week in the UK.
Well, the Community Shield is the last day of sunny football. Then it goes back to rain, sleet, clouds, and general shit. So that's pretty much how it starts with the football this weekend. Next week will be bigger and better and everything because the leagues all kind of start.
Sure.
Rugby also, next week is the big week because now the box are back. It's rugby championship.
Mm-hmm.
So right now we've still got Curry Cup. Curry Cup's great, especially if you support the Bulls. They literally trampled the shit out of the Sharks last week. I don't even know what the score was. Actually, I think it was like 60-0 or something stupid. Friday, the Griquas on their car park in Kimberley are hosting Western Province. That'll be at 3 o'clock. Grass burns are plenty. Saturday, Bulls versus the Pumas. Now, this will be your last chance to go to Loftus until the beginning of September.
Shit. All
so
right.
Get in there. Bulls, Cheetah, Bulls, Pumas, 3. The game of the weekend is Sharks versus the Cheetahs. Now, that's historically a big game because the Sharks always take the Cheetahs' players. Mm. So that'll be at 5:10. And then Sunday, Borland, which is basically...
Stop there, nobody cares.
Borland versus the Lions in Wellington.
Nobody cares.
But you know, Gareth...
10 people at that one.
Pretty quiet, all hammered on box one. Bit of a quiet sporting weekend. Big time with the golf because the PGA Tour sort of finishes with a massive climax on the FedEx Cup. So it's the FedEx St. Jude Classic this weekend. Top 70 on tour qualify for that, which then gets whittled down to the top 50 next week. So this is where the big money comes in.
It's always great when there's a climax on top of a cup.
Massive climax. Yeah. Huge one. That'll be the Tour Championship. That's the actual climax.
Sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
builds into that.
Fantastic.
And then LIV Golf Chicago is one of the last events running up into their end of season as well.
Right.
And, of course, LIV Golf March next year is at Stain City here in South Africa.
Here in South Africa. This is very exciting.
2 weeks' time, I'm doing a full show about that. We've got Chris Bentley from LIV Golf is coming in.
Great.
Oji Malef is going to join us as well. He's been to 3 of the events. Like, as I said this week, basically, this starts now, the biggest football season we have, because it goes and ends off at the FIFA World Cup in America, Mexico, Canada, whatever. So we've got nothing but football, football, football now until deep into next year.
Excellent.
It's so damn exciting. But yeah, next week we've also got Drickus fighting Kamzat Chimaev, UFC 319 in Chicago, Rugby Championship. I'm sure there's some other sports involved as well. But yeah, this is it. We've had a bit of a lull. Now we're going full steam ahead.
Yonder says Sundowns is not getting stronger. They just buy all the good players and thus create a monopoly. It's boring and that's bad for South African soccer. You agree?
Well, I disagree. They are getting stronger. And whether they do that by buying monopolies or whatever, that's unfortunately football.
You and Yonder, fight. Let's,
Yonder, that's life, unfortunately. You need to become rich. And if you're not rich, then be hot like Sydney Sweeney.
That's right. Lots of comments about Sydney Sweeney and Beyonce being attractive. We'll make sure that we, at least every show, we have some beautiful woman to show you in a picture or to have in the studio.
Exactly.
I think it's a good idea.
But
it improves everyone's state of mind. You know, we read that very important survey not so long ago about how when men see breasts, they immediately feel happier.
Immediately.
And I think, girls, you've got to tell us what it is that you want to see. And within reason. I mean, we're not going to be displaying penises.
Yeah, sometimes you got to do what you got to do.
No, I disagree. All right. That little cleft lip goblin will be manhandled. Who's that? Says Bitcoin Boot.
That's Kamzat Chimaev. His face does look
irregular. Oh, right. Okay, yeah. So he's a hob. He's a
cleft guys, Drickus is going to win. I'll get into this next week. Why? But let's stop fucking around with this. He's the underdog bullshit. He's... Cool. That motivates him more, but he's not the underdog. He's going to win.
Mapelo says, I really respect Ben for starting with local football. James opens up with European football, mentions F1, and closes with local football. I just don't get
it. I can't even mention F1 right now because I'm just bored.
Yeah.
Well. Just so bored. It's just McLaren 1-2, McLaren 1-2.
I got my ticket for LIV Golf, says Signet.
Nice.
So that's already
you'll have
happening.
A fantastic time with that as well.
Yeah. Okay, a couple of other things that we've got to do before we get to 7 o'clock. Apparently, Cyril Ramaphosa did call President Donald Trump to discuss looming 30% tariffs. They're not looming, they're already kicking in on South African exports. Again, he's woken up late, but let's see, maybe this call. Hello, hi, is that Donald? This is Cyril. Hang on, I've just been disconnected. Oh, my phone, what happened? Something like that. I don't know how it went, but apparently these tariffs could cost South Africa 30,000 jobs. Now, we actually spoke to the story on Monday. Leanne told us about Gendermark, a company in the Eastern Cape, and we'll be talking to the director of operations there, because they're not going out of business. They're absolutely not shutting down, and he's going to tell us about that. And I'm pleased, because they actually got hold of us and said, "Hey, you're talking shit. We are very much still in business." But this is a thing that all businesses who are exporting, particularly businesses exporting to America, are very concerned about, is these tariffs.
Yeah.
So apparently the two leaders agreed to continue trade talks with the negotiating team set to pursue detailed discussions. I don't know who's talking on behalf of South Africa at these discussions, because the Americans have got a great team of really, really smart people. I wonder who we're sending. Because if we're sending like most of the ANC and DA members of cabinet, I'm very concerned.
Me too.
I don't think there's anybody heavyweight enough to be able to.
We know that DA's got heavyweight.
Well, I'm not talking about how fat they are, Ben. I'm talking about that they have an understanding of international trade and economics. And I
also
would think,
able to negotiate is a massive thing.
Yeah, and being able to negotiate. I mean, these are not people who can even negotiate with each other in our government. So I do worry about this. But let's hold thumbs, right? Let's be hopeful. Key sectors affected include agriculture, automotive, and textiles, and some exports like copper and pharmaceuticals, which are exempt. So we want very low tariffs for South Africans selling and South African companies selling goods to America. And we want America to sell us stuff at low tariffs as well. So the lower they can get both sides of this, the better.
But that's it. And no one talks about this. There's two sides to this. We've been putting heavy tariffs on them.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, this is not something that I want to trouble myself with in my fluffy life. But we also have to have like the general tariff talk. Why do we put tariffs on other people?
Well, you see, America is also using the tariffs as a weapon to kind of cudgel the ANC into behaving themselves and getting some very basic things right.
Not being commies.
Not being stupid commies. And I understand that. You've got to use whatever tools are at your disposal to try and get your trade partners to behave themselves. And this is upsetting the ANC no end. I don't know whether this is true or not, so please don't quote me on it, but I saw a story pop up yesterday in my feed. And I tried to source it, but I had no luck in establishing where it came from. That Fikile Mbalula said in a speech, apparently, that he's instructed all ANC members that they are not to sing or perform or promote Kill the Boer. Now, I don't know. It would be an enormous statement of perfectly sensible middle ground for him to do this. And if he has said it, I give him full credit. I would love to give Fikile Mbalula credit for something. It's been a while since I've been able to. But if it's true that he said that, that is a perfectly sensible place for anyone to be. Rather not singing about killing people is always better than singing about killing people. And I don't see how this is controversial.
I just...
Certainly in the ANC.
Exactly.
EFF should follow suit.
How is this still a conversation?
Like, just stop it, guys. Just stop. Yeah. Stop being dicks. That's all.
That's actually what it comes down to. It's just being dicks. So yeah. We'll get into the second hour, but obviously there's podcasts now that are getting sued for saying things.
Yeah, apparently Gayton is suing some podcast about saying things about coloureds.
Yeah, they're crazy. But just going back to this whole thing, the Kill the Boer thing, you're just being a piece
Thank
of shit.
God it's not us. I was, for a minute there, I thought, oh God, it's Marvin, because he's always going on about coloureds, even though he is one.
Guys, we would get sued by everyone Jesus. If there was a microphone. The point I'm making is...
You've just made my day, Ben. I really thought it was Marvin.
But the point I'm making is like...
I'm so relieved. Aren't you guys relieved? Because he does say a lot of things about colored people. And I thought, oh, shit. Gayton's going to come after us.
We need to get into this at length, though.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look...
you were going for your gun for a second there, Ben.
No, it makes me angry. This whole... like the Kill the Boer thing. We need to bring it down to what it is.
Just
being a dick. Stop it. Like it's not like a banger track. Like it's not like us suddenly banning Psy's Gangnam Style. You can never sing that again. That's a banger, right? We'll keep it. Kill the Boer is not a great song. It's just shit words by people being shit. Let's just leave it alone.
I wanted to ask you about this. I had Stefano Vigoriti on Wednesday, and he's been very involved in water polo in South Africa. And
why?
He loves it. He used to play water polo.
Okay,
and he's got lots of friends who are involved in it. They have kids who are doing water polo or they coaching it or
very
whatever.
Very popular summer school sport.
Yeah, and that's what he told me, is that summer school sport in this country with water polo is actually tremendously successful.
We produce
tons of really good talent.
And it's the only summer jock sport. Because, you can't be a jock and play cricket or whatever
right.
else is good.
So it's a bit lame.
If you want to be a jock the whole year round, you have to play water polo in summer.
Well, he also brought up that our women's water polo team is quite good.
Also, because
he said they're terrific. They're competitive.
The private schools love it, yeah.
So the reason I bring him up is because endurance-based holidays like Croatia's Ultra Swim 33.3. I don't know what that is, but I'm reliably informed that it is growing in popularity.
Yes, and you swim 33.3 kilometers.
Okay, so this is it. And travelers are choosing transformation over relaxation, pushing themselves through ultra marathons, long distance swims, and extreme treks. And you and I have been talking about how tourism.
It's terrible news for the booze industry.
It's very bad for them, but very good for people's overall health, right? And you and I have talked about this, and we've even spoken about it in the window seat a couple of times, is that sport tourism, whether to go and watch sport, your favorite sports team competing in some big match, or go and watch a tournament somewhere, or have that one in a lifetime opportunity to see something like Wimbledon or the Masters or whatever. And then you get people who want to go and do the Tour de France, or they want to do a marathon.
Gareth, I've been doing some research on this. It is such a growing industry. It's massive. It's becoming a huge player. Like, it's actually changing so many parts of travel now. But how people save up and do things.
Have you ever been unfortunate enough to fly to Cape Town on the weekend of the Argus, for example? It's a nightmare.
Yeah, you don't do it.
You don't do it. Even the marathons that happen, the comrades, I mean, if you've got to fly to Durban that weekend, don't do it. Just don't. Stay at home. Cancel your plans. Because all these people are, they take over the planes, the airport, the other side when you're trying to get Ubers or taxis or whatever. It's impossible.
Sweaty seats everywhere.
Yeah, people wearing
outfits. It's a massive thing, and it's also such a unique thing. I think the first time I saw this was when I went to the FIFA World Cup in Brazil. That was the first major world event that I went to. I went to the Rugby World Cup in New Zealand in 2011. But that was New Zealand. It's very ugly. But when you get into like Brazil, there was a different vibe and feeling about it because people from around the world were doing something so special together.
Yeah.
And sure, you can go to Rio anytime and it's phenomenal. But to do it in that sort of sense, it's just like your senses are completely overwhelmed for how amazing this is. Because as humans doing fucking cool things.
Yeah. I think that sports tourism is going to become one of the biggest categories if it isn't already. For tourism, if you just think about the corporate incentive trips that people want as rewards for people inside of businesses who've done extraordinary things, you know, more than hit their targets, delivered fucking fantastic results, they pop those people on a plane and send them to some major international sports event. They have the weekend of their lives.
So a huge amount of social currency put into that now. It's like the biggest flex. I don't know if it's just because the people I follow.
Flex is the biggest flex.
Orbit FC striker. Yeah. I don't know if it's because of my algorithm or people I follow, but I don't see as much people flexing with cars anymore. I don't see those kind of things that would have been maybe pre-COVID huge. But put someone overseas and they are very happy to put the pictures out. They're having so much fun.
Oh, definitely.
People engage with the posts.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a cool thing to be able to do. Like, it was so cool. So my co-host, obviously, on the show, Sandile went to Ibiza recently. Look at the biggest jaw. Like, I love seeing my friends being in those places. Like, it's my happiest post on Instagram.
Can you imagine Sandile and how hammered he was and how out of control he was in Ibiza?
He went deep in Ibiza here. He did the country proud, put it that way.
Oh, yeah.
If
for sure.
He went there as a player from the country, podium finish.
Okay. Then there's this stuff which we also need to talk about. A trophy hunter. This is a kind of sport. Who was killed by a buffalo in Limpopo. And people are joking about this. I saw people with the picture of the hunter crossed out and the buffalo looking very proud of itself. This happens in hunting. Occasionally, it doesn't go the hunter's way. That's part of the reason people do it. There's an element of risk attached.
Yeah, look, trophy hunting is a very triggering topic.
Yeah.
We must always start the conversation by saying, this brings money into our economy. This sure. brings money into conservation, and this brings money into the greater mix of what we're talking about
yes.
here. But at the same time, we like sport in this world, right? And no disrespect to this man or his family or anybody who loves him, but there has to be fair game. And sometimes the hunter dies.
Yes, that's right.
I don't want to see people die. Maybe he's left a family behind. But if you look at the story in isolation, it's one for the buffalo, you know?
It is. And sometimes the animals do win. And we love those stories.
They should sometimes.
Some, you know, every year there's been a couple of stories of animals winning. And it makes me happy. I do like it when they
it's
win.
It's our primal nature. We can't fight it.
Sure. There's something in us that still wants the Colosseum and lions and tigers and humans being torn to pieces by the lions and tigers. And sometimes you want the human to win against the lions and the tigers.
Oh, everyone loves an underdog story or an under buffalo story.
Under buffalo. And so what, he got trampled to death? Head-butted?
So he was with an experienced
Horned
hunter
through his
and tracker.
Because,
I mean, how these things work is it's very well run, right? You get your tracker. And then you get your hunter, and they can guide you through the land because they know it. And then it's up to you and your gun and your ability to do that. And they make it very safe. And not, but it's a buffalo is a very difficult animal. It's, if you're a human walking around in the wild, you shoot yourself for hippos and buffaloes. Those are the two worst.
And also they just come out of nowhere sometimes.
And
you'll go around a bush, one standing right in front of you. You are either you have to pull your gun up and shoot and just hit the right spot in the fucking brain. And you remember, you got those huge horns. Hit that, there's no use.
It's really important.
You've got to hit in the heart otherwise.
You've got to hit at certain places.
Yeah. If it goes down, you've got to make sure it stays down, because if it gets up again, it's going to be furious and it will use whatever energy it's got left, whatever life it's got left, to trample you to pieces and to knock you senseless.
They're very, very angry animals. They're very strong, big animals.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got motherfucking huge horns. So
yeah.
They would basically make contact and then they would trample you.
Let's just do a quick vote. Are you happy about the buffalo winning, or would you have preferred the human winning? Ben, you'd say buffalo.
Yeah, because the human always wins because they got the unfair advantage of being determined about what they're about to do. It's premeditated, and they got amazing guns. The buffalo is just out there eating and shitting.
Yeah, doing its normal stuff.
No one said, "Oi, 3 o'clock, you're fighting this guy." So,
all right. So the buffalo, one vote. Flex, vote. Buffalo. Also buffalo. James? Okay, 3 buffalo. I'm going to go with buffalo 4-0.
So basically, you've asked guys who are in relationships and not in relationships. And
that's right. We've done a very fair sample.
Very fair sample.
I'd like to know if there's anyone in the audience who is very upset about this, maybe a member of the family of the hunter.
But then it's a personal question. They can't be involved, unfortunately.
Well, yes. Okay, so you've lost your father or brother or whoever, but we're also going to exclude you from this poll.
So now I want to take it further.
Too bad.
I want to take it further and say no one can hunt this buffalo from here on in.
This buffalo should be left. It should be given its life to die of old age.
Much like the gladiators when they win in the Colosseum,
yes,
they get freedom.
This buffalo
should be allowed to.
And should we maybe throw flower petals in front of it for at least the next 2 weeks?
Build up a legend, yeah. And then, so what this buffalo can now do is sire other buffaloes who may be in the trophy hunting pool.
And then maybe they will say, well, my father won the struggle, so I deserve free grazing, you know?
Yeah, I see.
There's the kind of entitlement that could come to the children.
Sort of that, yeah.
We've got to watch out for that. Put a poll in the chat, James. That's a good idea.
I think the buffalo is actually called Black Death.
Oh, it's called Black Death?
I think it was a name that they had even prior to this.
Really?
Yeah.
So this buffalo had some rep, some riz, as the kids would say, going into this.
There's no doubt that the buffalo has been injured, but I think it should go to retirement.
Yeah, give it a huge big paddock, several miles wide and several miles.
You know, like when someone becomes a world champion before a Springbok match, they got like the title or whatever the fuck. Get this buffalo out on next week.
And in truly rich countries or truly corrupt countries, they also give them a house or whatever.
Give the buffalo a house and like a blue light brigade.
Yeah.
But like, let's get this buffalo on Ellis Park next week before the Box Australia.
What a great idea. And if it takes out someone, too bad. That's what it's famous for.
I think the Australians
just make sure that those dancing girls that they have on before the game, make sure they're out of the way.
Can't
afford to lose those.
We'll have the fucking jacked impies, the wallabies, this buffalo on the field.
Here we go. We've got a poll in the chat.
Let's not kid ourselves. We are these people.
Listen, so far with just a meager 32 votes coming in, 69% of people, 70% of people are in favor of the buffalo. So buffalo is well in the lead.
I reckon it'll also promote travel to the country because now everyone thinks, well, it's not that safe. It's like you can go trophy hunt all these safe places.
No, I think this
if you tell someone I killed in South Africa, it's like, wow.
And this is like thing. Seeing an assassin, right? You don't have to hear about Lee Harvey Oswald dying. You could see Lee Harvey Oswald just grazing in the bush. Great idea. You could have special tours.
Send him to one of Cyril's farms. Those animals get treated nicely.
Yeah, I mean, Cyril can't. He doesn't know what to do with a gun. I think that's a great place for him to go. There we go. Texas millionaire killed by Black Death buffalo in South African hunting. I'm sorry, dude, but that is a magnificent... Look at those horns.
Look, that's probably not the actual buffalo. Specimen. That's just a reference image.
Well, if that is him, then he is deserving. You know what he wants, right? He just wants peace, tranquility, and lots of mating. That's what he wants.
I think we line up Black Death with some weekend specials.
Damn right.
And get him at the Bok match next week.
Cyril will use this buffalo as a negotiating tactic against Trump tariffs, says Bitcoin Boots. Maybe. Imagine the drunks, taking on the buffalo before the match starts at Loftus, Chris says.
Like I said, as we are these people, let's not fight it.
All right, we've got to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got lots more to talk about and plenty of excitement on the way. Don't forget, next week, the last week of three shows, and we go to one show a week from the following Friday. So get ready for that. Going to be very exciting, though. It's going to be a three-hour show live, all the people popping in, things going on, lots of excitement. And, of course, we'll be heading towards spring very soon. So yes. That's another reason to be excited.
Well, after your birthday, basically, it's spring.
Yeah.
Your birthday is like the end of winter.
That's right.
Which you love.
Fucking love it.
Great. Yeah.
Love the end of winter. Don't love my birthday. But let's get over it.